Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast about Pierce Morgan Fancast. Pierce Morgan Fancast. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Razor Blades Frisbee. No theme music this week. Just normal Jason Razor Blades Frisbee.
What's with the change-up? What changed the theme music?
Well, that was your Cold War theme music. Cold War might be ending.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. We had a lot of civil war is going on, and I don't think any of us want that. Shelby Cobras and his Elcon guys are cool dudes. I like the show a lot. I like the music they play and the conspiracy theories they talk about and the pop culture stuff they discuss. So Logical Contraption Radio on FCC Free Radio is good stuff. So hopefully we get Shelby Cobras on the show here soon and bury the hatchet, as it were.
Yeah,
I had too many nicknames anyway. Didn't know what to do with all of them.
Yeah, I think Shelby Cobras will be on the show next week. Unless, of course, he gets Bay of Pigs.
That's also true. Yeah. But then he can live on in fond memories as a graphic t-shirt with his face and a giant beard. So hipsters can buy it and not know who he really was.
That's true.
So, yeah.
And then you could also oppress Scarface.
Right? Oppress him so hard, we'll have to move to Miami and chainsaw people that way. Well, he didn't chainsaw anyone in the movie. Yeah. He just watched as he was chained up to a shower rod. Spoiler alert!
Man, you just,
by the way,
you just ruined Scarface for everybody.
I ruined the first 15 minutes of Scarface, and there's plenty of Scarface that I could ruin. But yeah, if you've ever been into any like MTV Cribs from way back when, Scarface posters of every goddamn scene were all over the place, so I think that film's been ruined multiple times.
That's true. Like, they would just be like, hey, I'm Ludacris, here we are, here's my TV, and then they would just show like the last 5 minutes of Scarface. That's all Cribs turned into.
Mm-hmm.
It's just clips of Scarface.
Hey, you caught me watching Scarface again.
How surprising.
Yeah, and it was every place. From Ludacris to Moby.
Especially Moby.
Speaking of spoiler alerts, these first few minutes kind of want to talk about the Avengers. I saw that last night.
How do you feel about those Avengers?
I thought it was all right. 2 hours and 22 minutes went by real quick.
That's true.
And I thought a lot of time was devoted to the storytelling of each character's background. I didn't know who Black Widow was. I consider myself somewhat of a Marvel geek. I mean, I know more about Marvel than DC, more than I probably should know for a guy who's 28. But I had no idea who Black Widow was. Was never really into the Avengers to begin with. Hadn't seen any of the background stories to build up to this movie. But I felt like I knew who she was and all the characters were and their conflicts with each other. It was pretty basic in some parts. Like, basically just saying that everybody needs to work together. Yeah, I felt like they built up conflict pretty well, despite the fact that these people are wholly unrealistic. They made it realistic. Or if I'm going to gush anymore, I should say that Joss Whedon made it realistic.
Yeah, so, well, their powers and their situations are unrealistic, but the characters are very realistic.
Yeah. What did you think?
I loved it. I love like 95% of it. I think that there was too much Black Widow and too little Captain America. I'm a big Captain America fan, so I was a little bummed out that he was just kind of there. It seemed like everybody else had a lot of stuff going on, like Black Widow and Iron Man were wholly ingrained via the two Iron Man movies into S.H.I.E.L.D., and Thor got his big thing to do because they're fighting Loki, his brother, and Incredible Hulk is obviously got a lot going on because he smashes a lot of things. And Captain America was just kind of hanging around.
This is definitely the best presentation of the Hulk I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
I did not get to see the most recent Hulk movie, so I don't know why I'm saying that. I saw the Ang Lee one. It was
that's awful.
Very disappointing.
The one where he fights the demon poodles.
The demon poodles, yeah, and the jellyfish. It's a shit show. And like, I'd rather he. I remember seeing like a Hulk comic at this local comic book store called Funny Farm. It's been changed to like Fearless Readers or something. It's in Vandalia.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they had like collectible comics up all along the walls, just plastering the walls. You could ask to like buy one of them if you wanted, just pull out the wall and everything. And there's a Hulk comic where he's fighting Quasimodo. It's just like there's a lot of real shitty Marvel comic books like back in that Golden Age and Bronze Age. I mean, they're fighting like literary characters. What's the point?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it made sense. Maybe kids were reading like Victor Hugo. Like, I wonder what would happen if the Hulk fought Quasimodo or some bullshit. But yeah, it was definitely the best presentation of the Hulk just like jumping around Manhattan and throwing shit around and just smashing, like running through an office building and jumping out that fucking window and hitting that flying creature from the Centauri, or what was it? Chitauri?
Something like that. I don't know.
Chitauri. That's what they were called. Chitauri. Honestly, I think it's probably the best comic book movie I've seen. Which is kind of shameful because just recently we had an episode where he talked about what's hyped, what's not hyped. And I said that comic movies were way overhyped.
Yeah, now look at you, gushing like a
schoolgirl. Yeah, I got a crush on this movie, big time. I'm going to put notes in its locker and everything.
They're not overrated anymore, are they?
No, they're totally rated. Pro-rated, I don't know what to say. Yeah, this was marvelous. I mean, I know a lot of it had to do with Joss Whedon. That's probably the uber fan of me coming out. But man, it was great. Really fun. I'll probably end up seeing it again.
Yeah, I'm going to see it again for sure. As many times as possible. And especially when it comes out on DVD, when all the deleted Captain America scenes are available.
Oh, going back to that, I thought he actually did have a pretty good presence. I mean, I can understand thinking that we need to see more like internal conflict of him being like, you know, this is way too much for a guy who was only unfrozen a couple of years ago.
A couple of days ago or weeks ago. Like, I mean, he was just unfrozen.
I didn't know if it was like years, months, or whatever.
Yeah, it was like very recent.
But in the end, when the Avengers have to assemble, Captain America is the one dishing out the orders. He tells them all what to do. He even tells Black Widow what to do.
Yeah.
So his leadership role comes into play.
Yeah. Yeah, like they did him properly and all that. Like he's like giving cops orders and stuff like that. And like being the leader. In terms of a guy who just woke up and like all his friends and family are dead. Like it would have been nice. Like in the comic they make a big to-do about, you know, he's haunted by the deaths of his friends and he's like a man, you know, alone in the world, everything he knows is dead. And I mean, this is, you know, in the original comics, he woke up 20 years after World War II. This is like 60, 70 years after World War II. So they could have, I mean, it could have been much more than what it was. So, but I guess that's all in deleted scenes. So I can't hate on it too much since they actually did all that stuff.
You know, as a character, that's really interesting to think of how they'll ever resurrect Captain America again, because he's so time-centered around World War II, like Red Skull and everything. They could do it now because it's that frozen embodiment thing. But to have him wake up like, you know, when we're 70 or dead and they decide like, you know what, Captain America needs a reboot, and they have him wake up like 30 years from now, then that's going to be insane. Like he's going to just be a raving madman. Like how is any of this possible? Flying cars and everything.
And that's what I dig about Captain America is, you know, he's struggling to cope with a world that isn't what he knew. And the only thing he does know is punching Nazis. So that's what he sticks to. He copes with the fact that his girlfriend is dead. And his
that's such a great cover, too. The punching Nazi, punching Hitler.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was the best. Obviously the best movie of this summer, but we are going to talk about more of 2012 summer movies on this episode. We figured we'd do a good and the bad of every month's every month of summer this year. Pick out a good movie and a bad movie. Not so much any ugly movies. For each month of the 4 months of summer where big Hollywood movies come out. And talk about what we're excited about and what we're certainly not excited about. So yeah, so we'll start off with the May movies. Do you want to start us off, Mr. Frisbee, with your good and bad?
For May, I'm excited for God Bless America from Bobcat Goldthwait. I had not seen like any of his movies outside of Police Academy movies, and certainly am not aware of anything else he's directed. I do like this guy's humor on occasion, so I'm interested to see what a film that he's behind is like. It features Joel Murray, and he's accompanied by a young woman whom, assuming her name is Tara Lynn Barr. I haven't really seen much outside of the trailer. There's a few names attached to this. But it looks like a cross between the movie Super and Falling Down. Super, of course, from last year, with Rainn Wilson and Ellen Page as in-real-life superheroes fighting crime in a very funny, funny manner. Really dark manner, too. And then Falling Down from years ago, where a guy just kind of cracks and goes across L.A. Seeking his own vigilante justice against stuff that he thinks is wrong. That's what the movie appears to be, just from the trailer and previews summaries I've read about the story. He's on a mission to rid society of its most repellent citizens. Terminally ill Frank makes an unlikely accomplice in 16-year-old Roxy. So I didn't know her name was Roxy, so that's kind of a shout-out to Acid Pop Cult there.
I'm sure when Bobcat Goldthwait was writing the movie, that's probably what he had in mind.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah.
Now I'm definitely seeing this movie. Yeah, I was totally sure, but it comes out May 11th. From what I've seen of it, I'm really excited. Now what I've heard of it, I'm going to have to see it.
Yeah, Kevin's been going on about this movie, Kevin on Junk Food Dinner.
Drop!
He likes that Bobcat Goldthwait a lot. I actually, on the new Junk Food Dinner, said that this movie was playing at the New Beverly in Los Angeles in a couple of weeks, but I think it's playing like tonight or something. So I was way off. But yeah, I haven't seen the trailer for this. I know a lot of people are excited about it because it like is nihilistic towards American pop culture or something. And people
are, or something, yeah.
People, yeah. So I don't know. I haven't paid too much attention. I think it would be weird. Like I said, I haven't seen the trailer, so maybe I'm way off in this assessment. But it would seem weird for the guy who was the squeaky-voiced guy in 8 Police Academy movies. You make a thing where he's saying American pop culture is bad. But I don't know. Bobcat Goldthwait directed a couple of Aquabats videos. So that's pretty cool.
I didn't know that. I'm an Aquabats fan. We saw Aquabats together.
That's true.
Up in that Cleveland. That's the mistake by the Malik, but yeah. Did not realize he directed Aquabats videos. It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
That's super rad.
I think he did Super Rad.
Well, shit. All right.
So, yeah.
What about you? What movie are you excited for this month of May?
Well, aside from the Avengers, the month of May is, I think, dog shit. Complete dog shit. I was looking at all the movies coming out, and nothing really made me like antsy and excited. But I think the one that I would want to see, I probably won't spend $38 to go to the movie to see it, but or maybe I will. I don't know. Well, probably not, because I would just go see the Avengers again if I were to go to the theater. But
right.
The Dictator's coming out. And I like Sacha Baron Cohen a lot. And I really want this to be funny and to do well, because everybody always says, oh, you know, that Sacha Baron Cohen, Borat was great, but Bruno sucked. And so I feel like if he does another movie that people think sucks, then maybe he'll be on the outs and, won't be able to do stuff as much as he does now. And I also think that people are wrong about Bruno. I mean, Bruno's obviously not as funny as Borat, but I think that it was a much more successful work of art. I mean, the climax of that movie, spoiler alert, is Sacha Baron Cohen as Bruno. Inviting all these, like, Deep South dudes to an MMA event, and then instead of an MMA event, it's half-naked Sacha Baron Cohen making out with another dude, while people throw fucking metal chairs at them. And, you know, wish them dead.
And so what does MMA stand for? Because I'm sure it's like male-to-male action or something.
Well, no, like they like, I mean, at first, like they have like a fight or two, like an actual MMA fight. And then like something happens and like in the middle of the fight, like two guys start making out or something like that. It's been a while since I've seen it. And so I think it's a really great piece of art sort of showing people's feelings towards homosexuality in this country and stuff. And so, I mean, it might not be as funny. There might not be as many, you know, jokes about a wife's vagina that hangs like the sleeve of a wizard or anything like that. But I think it's a great movie, nonetheless. So I want The Dictator to do well, just so that people will stop harshing on Sacha Baron Cohen's mellow and saying that he doesn't have it anymore because he made one movie that's only slightly less funny than a different movie that he made.
Well, can I tell you what movie I'm bummed out about?
Yes.
Battleship. Nice. Coming out May 18th. You should all stay inside or play with your kids or something else, because this looks like a piece of shit. I've never really been less excited or more disappointed for a movie to come out than this one. I mean, I can at least get behind Independence Day or The Rock. This one is terrible. Like, I sincerely hope people will change their mind at the last minute and just see Avengers again, if they want to see like an action movie. But much to my dismay, when I went to go see Avengers last night, I could hear the couple behind me gasping and genuinely like showing enthusiasm for the Battleship trailer. Like, oh, that looks good. It's like, what look? I wanted to turn around and be like, what looked good about that fucking tripe? Tell me right now. I'm so interested. And don't say Rihanna, because she was in full military garb. What drew you in? I mean, if you thought that movie was so damn good, just tell me what it was. Because it's like every other piece of Michael Bay garbage that's been out. It looked like Transformers on the ocean.
Yeah, and it looked a lot like that Battle Los Angeles movie, but just with boats. They showed this trailer before Avengers, and I went to see it the midnight showing on Thursday. And everybody was like booing all through it and stuff, so I was pretty
excited
about that.
Yes, good.
But then I turned on the crowd because they got too crazy with it. Like one fucking dork who thought it was a fucking open mic or something. He thought he was Crow T Robot in the back. kept making fucking jokes during all the trailers and stuff. And after the Battleship trailer, he said, "Coming soon, Hungry Hungry Hippos the movie." And like nobody laughed at all. And I could tell that like he maybe made that joke on Reddit and like two people upvoted it. So he was like, "Oh, all right, this joke's gold. I got to take it live tonight at the Avengers."
Did you hear his like pencil dragging across a straight line as if to cancel that joke out from future showings he was going to attend? Like, nope, this one didn't work.
That one's no good.
Yeah, leave the film commentary and jokes to Cinemax Titanic and
the Junk Food Dinner audio commentary episodes, please.
Well done.
Yeah, so this Battleship looks awful. Like, I don't even understand how you can be like, all right, we got this action movie. Who are we going to get for this action movie? I know, we'll get the pop star and the supermodel. Because the two top billed people in this fucking movie are Rihanna and, like, Brooklyn Decker.
Well, to Rihanna's credit, she was a military leader before her pop career. Like, where was she from? Baja? Or I don't know exactly. But she, like, it's a mandatory military enlistment. And she was that. Like, she was a drill sergeant. So this isn't too far of a step away. And everybody else, though, who the hell cares?
I had Battleship listed, just in case you didn't pick it. But I trusted you enough to pick it. So my
thank you.
Bad is what to expect when you're expecting. They made a movie about a fucking handbook about pregnancy.
It sounds dumb. It sounded so dumb.
It's almost as bad source material as a fucking board game.
I think they're on the level as worst source material ever. Like, I would rather they actually just remake movies from the past, or remake movies about sitcoms that happened in the past, such as Dark Shadows, which is also fucking coming out in May. And I, again, did not know was an actual TV show until somebody who grew up watching it had to point it out to me. So that's kind of insulting to me.
Well, of course it was a TV show. It's a Tim Burton movie. He doesn't have any original ideas.
That's right. But yeah, he made it very silly. And not to get too far off topic, but the original Dark Shadows actually looks kind of badass. Like, it explores more of that vampire lore that, not to sound weird about, but is sorely lacking in most vampire lore today when they actually put in films. So
you mean it's got vampires that drink blood?
That drink blood and regret it. And are like, what the hell am I doing with my non-ending life? So it's one of those sort of vampire shows. But they have to keep surviving and keep on keeping on. So it's kind of badass. But no, Dark Shadows, the movie, looks kind of silly and slapsticky and very, very Tim Burton-esque.
Yeah, it just looks like Beetlejuice with a vampire.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but
so yeah, What to Expect When You're Expecting does not look like Beetlejuice, so it's probably not going to be very interesting. And yeah. Who's in it? It looks like Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz and, yeah, Quaid and, I don't know, a bunch of fucking stupids.
Bunch of fucking stupids sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so let's move on to June. What are you looking forward to in June?
I am excited about Prometheus. It's supposed to be June 8th for the release date. It's a Ridley Scott film that seems to harken back to the days of Aliens. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it's supposed to be a precursor to Aliens, but been wrong before, so I might be wrong about that. Anyway, saw a trailer before Avengers for this, and that was the first time I saw a trailer for it. It looks real weird, very Ridley Scott-like, and very engaging, so I'm super excited about this movie. I know it's probably going to be long and drawn out in some spaces, but I still have faith in it.
Yeah, this looks pretty cool. I'm not like super stoked about it because I'm not like the biggest Alien fan in the world. But it looks pretty sweet. Charlize Theron's in there. I like her.
What movie are you excited for in June?
Not like super excited about any one thing, but I'm like kind of excited for a few things. But I think the one thing I'm kind of excited for most is Piranha 3DD.
3DD?
Yeah. It's for boobs.
For boobs.
It's a reference to boobs.
Now that's a really smart joke.
So, yeah, it's the sequel to Piranha 3D that came out a couple of years ago. This was supposed to be out already. It was supposed to come out in November, but it got pushed back, which I used to think was a death wish on a movie. But then Cabin in the Woods got pushed back like 2 years, and that movie was awesome. So now I don't know what to think. Yeah, there seems to be more piranhas eating people, but this one doesn't have two annoying little dipshit kids in it. So I'll actually be able to enjoy it. The first movie, as I've talked about a lot, probably on this podcast and most certainly on Junk Food Dinner, I hate when movies throw in a couple of little kids because 9 times out of 10, those kids aren't going to die. So it takes out all tension and anxiety, you know, in the scenes where they're escaping piranhas and you know they're not going to die. So it means nothing. All the tension the director's trying to build up means nothing because you know, you absolutely know these kids aren't going to die. And without any little kids in this movie, it seems, just from the trailer, there could be a shitload of little kids outside the trailer. But it seems that that will be gone. So this movie could be enjoyable.
Yeah, and by the way, to any listeners, I know this goes back to a few episodes ago, more than a few episodes ago, to Parker's previous exposition about hating when kids are in horror films because they never die. If you know of any movies where kids do die on film and create more tension and more believability, then go and send those movie suggestions to poolpartyradio@gmail.com. But yeah, I have not heard of Piranha 3DD at all. I didn't even know they're working on a sequel, to be honest. But yeah,
Paul Scheer is going to be in it.
Paul Scheer is going to be in it?
Yeah, he was in the first one, but he'll be in this one. Which is good, because he just disappears from the first one. That first one's such a piece of crap. Paul Scheer, who's like one of the main characters, just disappears. He's in it, and then he's not in it. It's awful. But apparently he'll be in this one, too. Perhaps explain why his character just disappeared for no reason.
And I have to see both of them, apparently.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, the first one, I don't know. It could have been a great movie. Kevin Moss of Junk Food Dinner likes it a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to need to know the backstory. Why are these piranhas attacking people, and why are they in 3D? So
you're going to have to discover the secrets.
So many dark, dark secrets.
Yeah. I'm also sort of vaguely interested in Rock of Ages because I love dance movies and I love musicals.
I did not know this about you. I've known you for going on like 10 years, and I had no idea you liked any of those things you just mentioned.
You like those things.
I like those things very much. I'm excited that you like them, because that's a real weird thing that we probably can't talk about on air that we are both interested in. Yeah. So
it's the movie's going to be directed by Adam Shankman, who is my favorite judge on So You Think You Can Dance as well. So that's all.
The movie I'm bummed about is coming out June 15th, and it's called That's My Boy. It's another Adam Sandler film. It recruits Andy Samberg, who recently left SNL, but is just another toe-in-line sort of guy from SNL seasons past that Adam Sandler seems to always recruit for his movies, whether it's Rob Schneider or really just Rob Schneider. I can't really think of anybody else. Anyway, I'm sure it'll do well, but I'm not interested in seeing another Adam Sandler flick. From what I've seen from like Happy Gilmore to Billy Madison to other Adam Sandler films like, what was it, Remote Control? The one where he gets a remote control that freezes time.
Yeah, yeah. Complete ripoff of, I think that was like a complete ripoff of a Chevy Chase movie.
Which is not a good sign.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, like I'm certain there's going to be plenty of like dudes falling on their groins or being hit in the groin, a lot of fart noises, and then like a hokey lesson in the end. Just not interested. Not going to lay down the money to see that movie.
Yeah, I don't care for this movie.
Did you see Jack and Jill?
Oh, no. No, sir.
Yeah, neither did I.
But yeah, this looks dumb. This looks like Adam Sandler sort of realizing that he doesn't have any juice anymore, so he's like trying to latch on to Andy Samberg as he's very funny. And in the end, he'll just bring them both down.
Yep, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, the bad movie I have for June, though, is Madea's Witness Protection.
I know how much you dislike that Madea.
Yeah, old Aunt Madea. She welcomes into her house some criminals who are escaping the mob through the witness protection program. Eugene Levy is there. Tom Arnold is there. A bunch of stupid people. I actually like Tom Arnold, but a bunch of stupid people are in this. And I don't understand why Tom Arnold, he wrote one of the most influential and best sitcoms of all time. Now he's in Madea movies. It's pretty sad.
What's super funny is that we just talked about this last week. I was surprised that Eugene Levy is in it, but then again, I'm not, because I just got this knowledge from last week's show. So that is super hysterical to me. Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Keith
weird.
Richards is also there. Just a bunch of losers.
Yeah. Should we move on to July?
Yeah, let's just move on, since we talked about Madea so much last week.
Well, for July, coming out July 6th, is The Amazing Spider-Man. I'm a Spider-Man geek, so I'm kind of excited for the reboot. I really enjoyed the Sam Raimi films up until like the third one. One and two are just great Spider-Man films, but this one looks more traditional, I guess, or true to the comics, where he makes his own webbing. He fights the lizard first rather than like fighting the Hobgoblin first or the Green Goblin. So all the elements are there. The only way that this could be like more true to the comics in the origin story is if he ended up like fighting the chameleon first. But that's not going to happen because there's like not a lot of Red Scare going on anymore. The previews look pretty good in that they look about as good as some of the Dark Knight previews I've been seeing with this, Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
I mean, that movie I'm also going to go see, but I'm definitely checking out Spider-Man, just because I've been anxious to see like some other villains outside of the usual gamut that they've been, like the high-tier gamut they've seemed to pull from. Green Goblin, Doc Ock. They wasted Venom in that that third fucking film. That third one's atrocious. Yeah. There's no reason to see it. They brought in Sandman, which is like, yeah, okay. But you end up wasting, I know we talked about this before, they wasted Venom, who had his own comic book series for the longest time. He was in, you know, the Maximum Carnage minis. So dumb. So dumb. So hopefully, like, this series will actually reboot it to some degree of, like, faithfulness and success.
Yeah, when I first heard about this movie, I was pretty down on it because I think it's a little too soon to reboot a franchise that, like, just ended, like, just mm-hmm. now, and could have easily continued. But seeing how bad that third one was, this is probably the best move that they can make.
Yeah.
And you know, in the trailers and stuff, they keep hyping, like, this this crap about, oh, Spider-Man's parents, maybe they were evil or some crap, which is stupid. But other than that, this looks pretty cool. I mean, Spider-Man looks very Spider-Man-y. He's crawling up walls, and he looks pretty true to the comics and whatnot. I don't know. This looks fun. I'm excited for it.
The weirdest thing about the hype-up trailer that I saw, like the first trailer that I saw, is that there's a sequence that's done from the first person's perspective that looks almost exactly like what was that video game called? It was like Razor's Edge or...
Oh, yeah. The video game where you're a girl and you just jump around on rooftops.
You're doing parkour. Yeah. And you, like, kick police guys in the face. It's Mirror's Edge.
Peter Parkour.
Peter Parkour. Yeah, exactly. That's what it looks like in that first part, because you're getting, like, the first-person perspective. And he's, like, sliding under water towers on rooftops. And you're like, what? Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, if you can web-sling, that's all I really care about. That's...
Yeah.
So what are you excited about this July?
Well, obviously I'm excited for the Spider-Man and the Batman. Those go without saying. But to dig a little deeper, what I'm really excited for is Step Up Revolution, the fourth movie in the Step Up series, man. I love these fucking movies where these people get together in a dance crew and they fight other dance crews, their dance styles.
See, I should have known this from your love affair with Breakin' and Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. Like, whenever I was going to visit you and Jono and Chase and whatnot at that house, like, Breakin' 2 would almost always be on. So I'm not sure why I'm surprised that you're, like, into dance shows and dance movies. Like, I like dance movies to an extent. I think dance shows are pretty interesting, but you just love the shit out of this stuff.
Man, I love it. Man, it's so fun to watch these people with their inventive, fresh dance moves. But, yeah, this movie, I like these movies. I actually haven't seen the first one because I'm a poser, but I saw the second one in the theater a bunch of times. I've got it on DVD. The third one was all right. The third one was in 3D, and so they had to do, like, all this weird, like, 3D stuff that looked crappy in 2D. But there's still some cool dancing, and Moose was there. He's my favorite character from these movies. And, yeah, so I'm excited for this new one. And Catherine McCormick, who was one of my favorites from So You Think You Can Dance, is in there. She's great. This movie's going to be great. I'm so excited. I love to watch people dance. It's so fun.
I'm super excited for you, but looking at the list of, like, movies coming out, I did not expect you to even consider this one. So I'm super impressed.
Yeah, there's the new Spider-Man, the new Batman, the new dancing movie. Yep.
July of 2012 is going to be a banner year for Parker Bowman.
You got that right.
You're going to be spending all your time in the movie theaters. That and in May. May, you're going to spend all your time in the movie theaters watching The Avengers again and again and again.
And I'm going to have to go back.
Indeed.
What do you?
I'm super bummed out about Savages coming out July 6th. And I've seen a couple of previews for this. Each time I get more and more distraught. I'm like, I don't agree with any of this. None of it looks like anything I can relate to. I'm not sure if it's going to try to portray itself as a grindhouse look or if it's just trying to be rad and awesome by having, like, these two handsome guys who are boning the same hot chick. Plus, they're pot-growing slash, like, selling geniuses. None of this is, like, up my alley at all. I can't relate to the characters. I'm not interested in these characters. And it's like an Oliver Stone film, and I have horrendous luck with Oliver Stone films. I've just never really enjoyed one. I haven't seen Platoon, and from what I understand, like, that's the one you have to see. But everything else I've seen, like the Doors biopic, Born on 4th of July, just Wall Street, like I don't care about any of this shit. And he always focuses on the shit I don't care about.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw this trailer a couple of times before Cabin in the Woods, and I don't know, it's got like, what's her name? The fine chick from Dusk Till Dawn.
Selma Hayek?
Selma Hayek, yeah. It's got her as like a bad guy or something, which seems awful because she's a terrible actress and she's pretty much just good at like carrying around snakes while being half naked.
Yeah.
So,
And don't forget that John Travolta's also in it and he gets shot like in the shoulder in the trailer.
Yeah. And then he gets a hand job by his masseuse.
Yeah. But yeah. No one will ever talk about, except for Scientologists.
Yeah, but yeah, this looks pretty bad. I assume that the title of this, Savages, is just a reference to the fact that these two guys are having sex with the same chick and are cool with that. Because if that's going down in your sex life, you're a savage. You should be taken out in the streets and beaten up for your sexual depravities.
But yeah, which movie are you bummed about?
I'm bummed out about Ice Age, Continental Drift.
I almost chose this one. Why'd you choose it?
Because I hate these fucking movies. These movies teach kids to be fucking morons. These Ice Age movies. The one before this had these Ice Age fucking animals. A woolly mammoth and like some kind of squirrel or something and a saber-toothed tiger. Something happens to them and they meet up with dinosaurs. So yep. Every stupid fucking little kid who grows up is going to think that woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers lived at the same time as dinosaurs. And we wonder why everybody in this fucking country is so goddamn stupid and doesn't understand science is because we put bullshit out like this that teaches them that fucking dinosaurs happened after an ice age. And then this movie says, Manny, Diego, and Sid embark upon another adventure when their continent is set adrift. Using an iceberg as a ship, they encounter sea creatures and battle pirates. So now, kids growing up are going to think that pirates and fucking woolly mammoths got together and we're having a good time out on the high seas. And we wonder why people don't believe in evolution in this goddamn country. It's because we're fucking having them grow up and having fucking Ice Age Continental Drift babysit them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, normally I would just attempt to play regular advocate or something here, but I'm going to have to jump on your rage horse, like ride double saddle with you, because I fucking hate the idea of this movie too. For the same reasons you just explained. And more than that, I would beg to differ that it's not going to be kids who are going to be worn out by this film thinking like, oh yeah, woolly mammoths and dinosaurs exist in the same time period, as well as pirates, of course, because that's what's fucking in right now. No, it's going to be everyone. Adults buy into this shit. I mean, I've been to these films and seen grown-ass adults well into their middle age going to see these movies on their own. And not for any perverse reason. They're with other adults and like, oh yeah, that was good. Patting each other on the back. Like, I'm glad I spent this $8.50 on this fucking piece of shit garbage. So, yeah, I mean, you're totally right in your assessment. This is terrible. It's the fourth one in this series. They should have stopped at 2. So, or not even started. But it's a huge problem. There's no positive reinforcement for it at this point. I mean, they're just cashing in. I want to say more power to him, but this is super dumb. Like, John Leguizamo, I haven't seen you act in anything since these movies started coming out. And I know you're an all right actor. You're an okay guy. Why don't you just do something that's more up your challenge level? Like, something more your league or... Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Ray Romano, I don't expect anything less from you. Dennis Leary, you're in the new Spider-Man movie, so give this shit up. Give up the ghost. Yeah. You're done. That's... You can do awesome shit from here on out.
That's the sad part about this, is John Leguizamo, like, his one-man shows are fucking amazing. Like, this dude is incredibly talented. And now he's lending his talents to just making sure that kindergartners all over the world think that fucking pirates hung out with woolly mammoths.
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting. Totally.
Yeah. There it is.
So what about August? What are you excited for here?
Oh, Total Recall all the way. August 3rd. The trailer looks pretty decent for a remake, and it looks like it takes more of a traditionalist approach to the story, as far as I understand the story. Still have to read that short story about it. But I love the original, and this one seems to take the original and just do better things with it, which I didn't think was possible. So, kind of excited about this one.
Yeah, I'm excited for this too. I mean, obviously the original is pretty perfect, but this one seems different enough. I mean, there's no Mars, there's no mutants. It seems pretty grounded in just some straight up in the future stuff. And Colin Farrell apparently is really awesome. He was great in that new Fright Night. So I'm a Colin Farrell fan after that. So I'm into this. Also, Bryan Cranston is there, man. Breaking Bad. Heisenberg is there.
What? I did not know he's in this film. Yeah. So obviously, this is like a double star for me. I'll be there opening night.
Yeah, I'm into this. That's the one I had too. So we're both into this.
Excellent. So I'm bummed out about The Campaign. It is out August 10th.
Me too. I had that one.
The story seems okay, considering that North Carolina is pretty famous right now for its politics recently. But the cast seems promising to an extent. You have Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell, but Jason Sudeikis is in this bullshit. And as Corey from Ocon Radio knows, I am not a Jason Sudeikis fan. So this is some bullshit garbage I'm not going to be spending money to see.
Yeah, I hate this. I hate Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis being in every fucking movie. I absolutely can't stand Zach Galifianakis. He's a fucking tool bag. He reportedly refused to work on The Hangover 2 if Mel Gibson had a cameo, because Mel Gibson's like a bad guy and all this. But he's perfectly okay just turning out garbage like this. And he's perfectly okay for being famous for playing like a guy who jacks off a baby in The Hangover. And that's fine. But being Mel Gibson, who makes some of the best movies we've ever had in Hollywood, no, that's bad. That's bad news. Fuck you, Zach Galifianakis. You stupid, not funny.
And man, I didn't know your hatred for Zach Galifianakis. I'm actually okay with that guy.
He's the worst. And his goddamn stand-up is stupid. Oh, you tell jokes while playing a piano. Whoa, cool, yeah. You have jokes that are too shitty to just be said on stage into a microphone, but all of a sudden if you play a goddamn piano over them, oh, you're so funny, Zach Galifianakis. Fuck off. Jason Sudeikis. I'm sure he's going to be playing an attractive straight man in this.
Yeah, he's going to be totally perplexed by what every silly person says in this movie to him. Oh, what? Oh, what? You said that to me? Huh? What? That's going to be his every fucking line. Oh, what? Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this film. I won't watch it. It's fine. I mean, I've seen Will Ferrell's best work in Eastbound and Down, so I don't really care.
Yeah.
I'm glad we both agreed on August. Jesus, that really shortened it up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Part of the Red Band Network. RedBandNetwork.com.
This week on Sherlock Homophobia, Sherlock stumbles onto a Lady Gaga video.
Oi, crikey. Born this way. More like tricked into being this way by the gay agenda.
Are you tired of movie podcasts where everyone is talking like an asshole about stupid shit like The Godfather and The Shawshank Redemption? Then you need to hit yourself a Junk Food Dinner, a podcast where we value laser guns and Dean Cameron more than acting ability or feasible plots. We love any cheesy old cult stuff you got. The more rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls, the better. And we're not assholes. Check us out at www.junkfooddinner.com or search iTunes.
And now,
it's time
for the lightning round.
First up on the lightning round, a man stabbed his friend during an argument over who has had the most sex. An argument between two South Carolina men over which one of them, quote, can have the most sex, end quote, ended Sunday with a stabbing. Calvin Bernard Hill was arrested on a felony battery charge following an altercation in the back of a PT Cruiser being driven by a female acquaintance of the duo. Hill stabbed the 41-year-old victim in the ribs after they left a party. he and Mr. Hill, the victim, Mr. Hill, got into a verbal altercation about who can have the most sex. A tussling match ensued, and he ended up being stabbed. So, hilarious.
I love that story.
Have you ever fought over anybody about having more sex than the other person?
No, I've never even talked about sex with another person until, what, 2 weeks ago when we had that conversation about the Amish or whatever. That was the first time I've ever talked about sex.
You're a pure gentleman, sir.
You got that right. But yeah, this is wild. I love that this guy told the cops that the guy stabbed himself, which, given the context of the story, sounds believable. Because if the guy were to believe that he couldn't get as much sex as the other guy, he would probably stab himself. He was just so distraught over the fact that he wasn't having enough sex that he had to end it all. So that seems believable to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty great quote. I can't go down for this, he said. That man stabbed himself.
Yeah, I just love this story. I love the idea that two guys would get so mad. You know, and like, how do you rile this guy up so much? Like, by telling him all the things you've done? Like, he was probably like, oh man, I saw such big boobs. You wouldn't believe how big the boobs I've seen. And like, the guy just couldn't handle it anymore. He picks up a knife and he just starts digging into his rib cavity and pulling out his hearts and his organs and stuff.
Yeah, like, could have been a serrated knife. Could have been digging in there and be like, none have seen more boobs than I.
Yeah.
That could have been the exact argument he used. In the back of a PT Cruiser, no less. Like, that's what kind of kills me. It's like, this is the lamest argument to have in the lamest place possible. Thousands of pills filled with powdered human baby flesh have been discovered by customs officials in South Korea. More than 17,000 pills smuggled into the country have been intercepted since late August. And these pills are marketed as a miracle cure for all ailments, but unsurprisingly, they are harmful. The capsules are in demand because they are viewed as being a medicinal cure-all.
Yeah.
And they're all coming from China, as it were.
Of course. Man, China, for being like the new superpower that they are, I love that they spend a lot of their time fucking finding fossils of early human primates and crushing them up into penis powders and, you know, fucking killing tigers and pandas and turning them into fucking boner pills. And now they're doing it to babies.
Yeah, because you need like a reusable fuel source. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm much happier that they're doing it with babies than doing it with fucking primate bones that could undeniably prove evolution and tigers and shit like this that we'll never be able to get back. At least they're doing it with babies. I mean, that's fine with me.
So this is like an upgrade to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take this step further. I'd rather not do this at all. I mean, I'm surprised that boner pills are such a hot commodity in, like, these Asian continents and islands. Like, why is this such a big thing?
Man, I don't know. These people spend so much time and energy trying to
maintain erections.
Yeah, trying to get erections and stuff.
No clue. But yeah, that's the next big thing. So customs officials are actually trying to crack down on it. They're as offended as we are. It's bizarre. Hopefully this isn't a long ongoing thing, but yeah, boner pills, big deal. So on to the next one. A principal in Clayton, Missouri, created a fake Facebook page to snoop on students and was called out on it pretty quickly. Dr. Louise Losos resigned under the pretense of a fundamental dispute concerning the appropriate use of social media, in that she created a false Facebook account and started becoming friends with students of the school that she principaled, was called out by a student there saying that Susie Harrison may be the principal in question. And she quickly took down the site and was later set to resign.
Yeah, I love this. I get into fights with my wife all the time because I'm always saying that if you work in education and it's like not college level, if it's below college level, you're basically just a babysitter. And this completely gives validation to that. Like, this lady is in charge of so many students. And what she decides to do during her day, what she gets paid to do, is to create fake Facebooks to snoop on the kids. And she fucking failed miserably. Like, imagine this, Mr. Frisbee. Imagine you're friends with somebody on Facebook. Like, what would they have to do to give you the hunch that they're your fucking principal? I mean, she must have been doing some real, comically stupid Mr. Burns-esque stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, actually. Like, hey, guys, this is a status update, by the way. Hey, guys, don't forget tomorrow's meatloaf day. And also, be sure to wear your school pride colors for the pep rally. Be sure not to use any drugs on your days off. Peace. Yeah, I mean, it could just be like that very lame interaction. But to the credit of like educators who are actually doing their jobs, and by the way, she was not being paid to do this. That's why she resigned. Like, she's resigning because it's such a fucking embarrassment that she would even attempt to do something outside of her job description that was so stupid. Yeah, people who are actually doing their jobs in like K-12 education are doing a good job out of it. I'm only saying that because like I have family who are involved, and I know like the strain that it is for having to like try to teach these sometimes very lame brain kids, as it is with any classroom. Like, you're gonna have people who are just not into it. This is a very weird thing to do, just be jumping on there and doing very ludicrous stuff, enough ludicrous stuff to have a student believe, like, hey, I'm pretty sure this is the principal who's being our friend right now under this AKA. So yeah,
you have to be so comically bad at what you're doing to be found out. Because, I mean, kids add anybody. I mean, anybody on Facebook just adds anybody. Like, I would never suspect that anybody on my Facebook page could possibly be my principal. But these people found her out because she was so stupid and inept. And what's really great about this is she's been put on paid leave, which will continue until her resignation becomes official on June 30th. Good for you. Now you get paid for doing nothing. Good for you.
Yeah, again, just to stress it, it's only this idiot. Like, I mean, this is the story we're looking at. This person is being really dumb. I mean, it's not every person who works in education. This person is very exceptional in her idiocy.
That's true.
I know people in education who would never do such bullshit. Like, they do their job, they grade their papers, and they try to spend as much time as they can with their family as they're allotted after doing all the other bullshit they have to do for these fucking kids. But in her case, she went the extra mile and was like, you know what? I don't think people think I'm stupid enough. Here I go. And she created this false Facebook account to lure students in, which she was successful in doing, but then was stupid enough in like convincing students like, hey, I'm not an actual student. I know I've been doing a good job up until now, but I'm, you know, posting pro school stuff or whatever and not being as legitimate as you thought I once was.
I'm sure nobody ever thought that this broad was legitimate.
They added her, though. I mean, that's my point. It's like, they added her. Like, there's two guilty parties here. Her and the fucking students who were dumb enough to be like, oh, yeah, Susie from school? Yeah, of course. I'll add her. Wait, I don't know a Susie from school. Whatever.
Well, I'm sure we're all friends with Susies from school.
Nope, not me. Not one Susie in my entire Facebook friend page.
Is that right? Well, guess what? Seth Kuzer was really me, dog. I tricked you.
Oh, no.
Psych, Seth Kuzer is fake. He's me. yeah, this broad is a freak.
Because I'm so surprised.
She's using fucking played out MySpace tricks that people's ex-girlfriends use to like find out if their boyfriends are cheating, to lure her students into fucking, who knows what.
Well said. Yeah, this is old hat, and she definitely should be getting paid for this by any stretch. I mean, but there it is. Missouri's got its own thing going on.
And that brings us to the end of the show. You can go to poolpartyradio.com and get all our episodes and find a link to our iTunes. As we said last week, every time we put up a new episode now, an old episode leaves the feed. So if you want those early episodes, and why wouldn't you? They have varying audio quality, and we didn't know what we were doing yet. So clearly that's good to listen to. But yeah, so every time a new episode goes up, an old one goes away. So if you want those old episodes, go to iTunes right now and download all those old episodes. It's not a ploy to get more downloads, mostly. But if you want to be a completist, get those old episodes now before they go away forever. Also, while you're there, leave us some reviews and comments and stuff. That would be awesome. The more reviews and five-star ratings and whatnot we have on iTunes, the more people see us, blah, 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 yada, yada. And mostly tell your friends. If you see a friend, you know, I'm sure your friends all the time on Facebook are talking about, oh, I'm so bored, I can't sleep. You know, I got nothing to do this weekend. Then tell them, hey, listen to Pool Party. They're funny dudes. And, you know, that will help the show. That will help the show more than anything else could possibly help the show. Also, send us some emails at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Mr. Frisbee will read them. Also.
Yeah. Our Frisbee Got Mail segment.
Yes. Which may or may not still be called Put Your Fingers in the Air so Frisbee Can See Where You're At. Also, go to our Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. You can like us there and leave us comments, and maybe Frisbee will yell at you.
Perhaps, yeah. I might just yell back. Depends on how much you yell at me. If you want to get on the show shenanigans, you can always post comments. In fact, there was a past comment this week from two show listeners and past guests, Kevin Moss and Mike Dick, talking about my extreme ignorance of 80s sitcoms that involved affluent white families, sometimes single white parents, adopting black children. I mistook an episode of Different Strokes where the children on that show were molested by a bike repair guy named Mr. Horton as an episode of Webster, which, you know, none of that stuff ever happened. So thanks again, guys. You caught me. I did not do my research on that one. But here I am saying sorry and making up for it. It was definitely Different Strokes, and so appropriately named the show. Only Different Strokes would have a show about child molestation.
Busted! So next week, Shelby Cobras from the Illogical Contraption Show should be here. We're going to bury the hatchet. No more podcast Cold War. We're going to tear down this wall. No more photoshops of Mr. Frisbee destroying San Francisco. No more implying that liking Julian Sands is a bad thing. So until next week, this is Parker for Jason Razorblades Frisbee saying fuck you, Chelios.
Under his little armpits, holding him up, squeezing him tight, unaware of what's growing in his guts. 2 feet tall, he can run and fall in his diaper, hitting himself in the head with his father's lighter. Watching in disgust, he cries, he tries to ignore it. When nature ran intended, somehow it ruined his courtship. Girl as a kid, the girl won't abort it. This empty vessel adoring you filled it with pure shit. Mostly from resentment, or perhaps he was neglected. Mouths of feet were in his arms and they were black and infected. When they spoke, they told him leave the girl and kid for dead. So we picked him up with one hand, held him up and said that you were not supposed to be a cider. But somehow you have a life and a brain. No wait, you had 2 strokes, you were going to die, sir. Now would you kindly move out of our way? Beat kids. Beat kids. We keep shoveling sheep shit. Light us up, we don't believe in. But while we sleep, they count.
Don't know how she made it, but she's amazed that she did. 15 years with no help, she had raised her kid. Couple marriages later, this is the last one. Wedding band on his hand, balled off, and he blasts his son.
doesn't wanna know all his bruises are from. So she takes her husband's side and this just confuses him. Tragic, the magic of fertility, the ability to have another child while one rots in a facility. Desperate to be happy, but something stalled her heart. Unable to see a future with him and it falls apart. He sleeps on the couch, she puts food in her mouth. Loses a girlish figure, he figures this is his way out. She packs up and leaves with her daughters in need of help. Violent streak, he's so abusive, just knows that there's someone else. Returns to get some things, he throws her to the bed. She starts to pray, smacks her, hold her down and has his way. And as he forces himself inside her, her eyes start around with pain. He says, you could talk but no one listens to liars, but you will surely get yours one day.